Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out on Twitter at Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And it's the Just Two Choices celebrity segment. So I'm excited to welcome first my co-host, Rico Rakowski. Rico, how are you, man?
Hey, fabulous day. Fabulous day on the planet. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
To you for sure. And I know you have an awesome guest today. Go ahead and introduce him.
Yeah, say, Brody, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Today's guest is an actor who continues to have an amazing career, starring in what I'll call the quadfecta of TV shows. Guiding Lights, Zachary Smith, Young and the Reckless as Cody Dixon, Days of Our Lives as Patrick Lockhart, and CIS as Lieutenant Michael Jensen. What a fabulous career. Still going. Congratulations, Brody, on all your successes and welcome.
Hey, guys. Brody Hutzler here. Can you hear me okay, first of all?
Oh, yeah.
We hear you great.
You're loud and clear.
You're good to go.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying, I'm out walking my daughter around the neighborhood, so this is a good time.
Okay.
Wow, great. And, you know, Brody, you grew up about 200 miles, as I understand it, 200 miles south of the Arctic Circle around Fairbanks, and where many people come from the lower 48, venture to Alaska, live their dreams. You know, you did the opposite. You ventured down to lower 48 to L.A. and Burbank and New York City. So what kind of inspired you to go that direction? Or did you move that direction first and then step into acting? Or let us know about that.
Yeah, as it happens, I was born in Alaska. My parents moved us around quite a bit. My dad was in the Air Force.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we moved a lot. And then he retired, and we moved to Long Island, New York. I was interested in acting, but I'm not from that sort of family. And but I went to college in Michigan State, and my parents moved to Los Angeles, lo and behold. So I would come home for the summers, and I started thinking maybe I should give it a shot. So I transferred to school in California. Then I quit college. I went to acting school every day, all day. And then things started happening from there. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, Brody,
Go ahead, Rico.
Now, I was going to go just to follow a quick question to Brody. What did your family think when you told them that you were going to leave college to go to be an actor?
You know, funny enough, they were pretty cool. I think they thought maybe it was a phase. And I wasn't sure. I'd been a biology major to begin with, so I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do anymore, and I liked acting, and I'd always been interested in it. So I think, funny enough, even though my dad was a military guy, he was very supportive. And, of course,
I was an Air Force guy, too, so I had some friends who had flown up in Fairbanks and in the Air Force and pilots. So, anyway, it was what was your dad's specialty, just out of quick curiosity?
Yeah, he was a pilot for the first, 10 years of his career. We ended up in Wright-Patterson and, Fairbanks and up in Rome, New York at Griffiths. And then he retired for 23 years, but the second half, I guess he did whatever you do when you're not a pilot anymore.
Yeah. Management, I think, is what they call it.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, real quick, going back to your acting, I mean, wherever you went, when you went to these different, you know, when your dad moved around, your family moved around, you went to school, was acting still in the back of your mind? Did you kind of step into some of that stuff in high school, and or did you just dive into it?
I did a little bit. I remember vividly in eighth grade doing some because I was in Long Island, New York, and my teacher was a cab driver in the city during the summers, and we did some plays in class, and he was very supportive of me, and I kind of think that's when I first started getting a real sense of maybe it would be something I'd like to do eventually someday. It just so happened that my parents moved to Los Angeles. I got really lucky. I mean, I'm not sure if I would have been a guy to pack up all my crap and move to L.A., but maybe I would have. It's hard to tell. I don't know how bad I would have wanted it, but
yeah.
But when I got serious about it, I got really serious about it.
You had a place to crash, right? So there you go. That's perfect.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. Exactly. I had a roof over my head and a car and, another life happening before I jumped into it. So it was good. But, however, I didn't give myself a backup plan, which a lot of people think is important. I mean, when I quit college, I said, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to be an actor, and that's it. And that's what I did, so. And fortunately, I was successful right away, and unfortunately, I was successful right away because – then I wasn't successful for a bit, and I paid my dues kind of after the fact, which is an odd thing to go through.
Well, that's exciting. Well, two questions. The first one, which is, how long was the acting school that you went to? And then when you went to the acting school, did that kind of lead into the Guiding Light? Because, man, you just hit home run after home run, it seems like. Guiding Light, Young and Restless, Days of Our Lives, you know?
Yeah, it's funny enough, my first acting school acting coach was a guy named Vincent Chase, who is the character Vince Chase is named after in Entourage. He was the acting coach for Mark Wahlberg, and he was one of the last acting coaches when Paramount had acting coaches on set. You know, he taught Richard Chamberlain and all these random people. So I was really fortunate. He really believed in me and cut me a good deal, just made sure I was there every day. And through him, I met an agent. And, you know, my fifth audition later, I booked Saved by the Bell. And then, I think it was a year to the day later, I got Guiding Light and took off.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah,
so
it was pretty
Saved
crazy.
By the Bell, Brody. You booked Saved by the Bell. What was your character? You're a huge fan of Saved by the Bell. And then you get into the soaps. But what role did you do when you did Saved by the Bell?
Okay, so Saved by the Bell, the new class, of course. I played a guy that was pretty much the closest you're going to get to a date rapist on a Saved by the Bell show. So it was pretty edgy for the time. And so that's what it is. Mr. Belding had to scold me at the end. You know, I grabbed the main character, and I was a little rough with her. But, you know, it was actually a pretty good show, pretty interesting show. And I remember Mr. Belding had to take me away at the end to give me a stern talking to.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I played a lot of really nice guys for a long time. And then the last couple of years, I've been playing a lot of bad guys.
That's one of the things that popped into my mind. As you look at all these different characters and for the length that you played, and especially on the, I'll just use the soaps, for example. Do you ever go home as Patrick Lockhart, or do you ever go home as Cody Dixon? And he's kind of, I mean, does it take time to decompress from, so to speak, maybe that's not even the right word, but to step out of character? Or is the set pretty much where it is? It just depends on the individual actor. How about yourself? How did you look at it?
I think for me, that's a good question. I was single the whole time I was on Days of Our Lives, so who knows? I may have gone home and been Patrick Lockhart for a week at a time. I don't know, but I think I'm pretty good at separating life from fantasy. I think it's more difficult. Like, I just got home from shooting 3 weeks on a film, and it's more about just stepping back into regular life and not being being waited on hand and foot by people. And, you know, I'm a dad now, and I get home and I just miss her mom again. It's kind of a weird transition, but I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at separating my characters from my life. I think. Yeah. So, man.
But again, that kind of thinking about, I was a former professional wrestler, Brody, and a lot of the guys that were in the ring, their persona came out with them. They had that same persona in certain ways. So it's kind of, you had to stay grounded at times, especially being on television all over the place and people recognized you, and you had to start in certain ways to keep yourself where you were at, because you were always working. Lots of actors in Hollywood aren't always working. So how did you keep yourself grounded?
I come from a grounded family, I suppose. I never believed the hype. Let's put it that way. You know, I see people all the time that believe their hype and they believe their press. And, I know I'm a lucky guy, man. I mean, I worked for it, but it's a numbers game, and I appreciate everything I get. And I'm sure I've had my bad days where people maybe didn't have the best experience with me, but I think overall I do pretty well. Especially after being in the business this long and having times where you don't work, you know, you really appreciate and understand, especially, I mean, the business has changed so much. That every time I get a job, I'm shocked, you know, I'm so fortunate and feel so happy. But,
wow.
I think just being raised with my family the way it was and moving around a lot and being a shy kid, I'm just grateful, you know, more than anything.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
but, you know, you can ask somebody, they might think I'm a total jerk.
thanks for sharing that aspect of yourself. And, you know, and speaking of these different aspects, I was kind of curious, in the soap world, how fluid are the soaps? I mean, actors' contracts change. There's new potential scene. And say you as an individual, you take on the part, when you initially say took on the part of, let's just say Cody Dixon, Young and Restless. Restless. I mean, when you originally took that part, were there some times during that shooting and with Days of Our Lives also when you actually had input into where the storyline was going, where you were, you know, you were doing something and you said, hey, let's have the character go this way. Does that happen much? Or
in my experience, it didn't happen much. I kind of, you know, they have X amount of writers, they have 12 writers, whatever it is, writing scripts. And I mean, it's the most input I probably ever had, or most actors have on a show like that, unless you're a Christian Alfonso maybe, but you can maybe change some of the dialogue if it doesn't kind of isn't just coming out right, it's not flowing right. They're pretty lenient, is my experience, as far as if you're pretty much saying what's written there, you get away with it because they move so fast. But no, I've never had really much of a say as far as, I mean, I think maybe the way you act your character, the way you portray your character may influence the way your character might go. But no, I've never had input per se on something like that. You kind of just roll with it.
Okay.
And I'm fortunate. I've never not liked it, so it's never been a problem. Or I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And soaps can be a drain, right, Brody? Because it's an everyday thing for seasons. Not like, you know, you're shooting X amount of episodes. It's a daily show, so it can be very interesting. Because you become a family for sure, but you also are constantly always going to work every day, where you see other actor friends, I just shot a movie, now I'm just going to hang out for a bit. You know, so that's different to get used to.
That's true. I will say that the casts are so big. I mean, there are moments when you have a big storyline where you do work Monday through Friday, but I got to be honest, on average, you work 2 to 3 days a week, maybe. It's a pretty nice schedule. You know, there's you know, ebbs and flows. Your character is forefront. You're working a lot. And then you're kind of background filler where there's other characters in the forefront. And it kind of works out. But, yeah, you're right. It's year round. So it's hard to plan anything because even if you work one day of that week, you have to be around to do it. And I'd say you're right. It's a completely family thing. And it was never a drain for me. But what I found is when I did leave shows, the thing I missed most was the family, the other people. I mean, I missed the work, but it was nice just that – family you have, that connection you have with other actors and crew and whatever. Yeah.
Were you sometimes surprised by some of the episodes? I mean, it's amazing. You know, Guiding Light was on for so long. They've had like, you know, 18,000 episodes. I mean, I'm just trying to imagine writing all this, you know. You know, they say that Days of Our Lives is almost 13,000 episodes to date and over 11,000 for The Young and the Restless. I mean, that's mind-boggling when you think of episodes and all the writing and all the work. The work that goes into that. Are you? How far in advance do you know where the storyline's going, or where the writers kind of surprise you every couple weeks with, this is where the twist is now with so and so's wife and such a situation.
My experience was, you might have a general idea of what's happening just because you're in it and doing it, but When I was last time I was on Days was 2007, and I think, you know, you might get the scripts a week in advance generally.
Okay.
And then, you know, and if you're working every day, you don't even have a chance to look at it until the night before. So yeah, sometimes it's pretty shocking what's going to happen next. But, you know, they sort of move at a slow pace because it's a daily thing. So, I mean, I had some crazy things happen to me when I was working on Days of Our Lives, just story wise, when Jim Riley was writing it when I first started. So, I mean, you know, I was flying planes and killing sharks with my bare hands and all kinds of crazy stuff. But it was fun. It was fun. You're like, I'm sleeping with who this week? Oh, my God. But no, it's all good.
Yeah. So, Brody, like, you know, some of the movies that have been on, I hate to say this, you're saying, really? Neil, this is dating you, but I'm only 43. Tootsie or different soaps that they have on, you know, movies or television that are just portraying them. Is that truly what usually goes on the scenes in soap operas? And like, here's the script and here's how we're going?
I'm trying to remember exactly how those movies went, but I mean, you know, it's a lot of times I feel like the soap opera's behind the scenes more than on camera. But this is pretty interesting. Yeah, and you get to be pretty flexible. I mean, you get scripts and you might walk on stage and producers may say, you know, we're cutting this paragraph, so you have to blend these other lines. We're pulling out this page. I mean, it's pretty crazy. You have to be able to think on your feet. And but it's a great training ground. You know, I show up to do a movie or an episodic on TV, and I'm more than prepared just because I'm used to having to be just ready to roll to anything that comes your way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a... It's good like that. I just did a movie with Jordan Ladd, who's very small, and I'm used to working with small actresses, so I'm used to not putting my shadow on their faces when we're working and things like that. They come in handy.
Well, how about NCIS as it fit into the unfolding of your career? How did that come about for getting a part on there? And then how did you feel about that storyline compared to like Days or Guiding Light or anything like that?
I just auditioned for it and I got it, and it was a fun little thing. And I was thinking about the show actually today, because I just found out last night I'm on hold for NCIS Los Angeles. I'll know today if I'm going to get that show.
Oh,
so that's exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, please do. That would be fun. So,
fabulous.
Maybe I'll find out we're on the call. That'd be good. But, NCIS is good. You know, it was another, I kind of turned out to be the bad guy, which was always fun.
Is that something that when you work with Vincent Chase as an acting coach, does he just cover this, you know, because in the world of positive choice kind of things, which is, you know, Just Do Choices, what the show's about, making positive choices and about, you know, keeping your life moving forward. Does Vincent Chase, you know, you hear a lot about coaching in the self-development arena, and, you know, it's interesting you're talking about acting coaches. And what was his kind of, what did you really like about his style of teaching you and coaching you as an actor?
I'll tell you what I really loved about Vincent Chase for me, and what worked for me, is he didn't get hung up on a lot of the method and the this and the that. He basically said, listen to the other person, you know, listen, you just got to listen to them so that you can respond to them. Because I find I worked with people, and I've been guilty of it. You learn your lines and you know what they're going to say, but you're not really listening. You're just trying to get your lines out and act them. I feel like he just taught me to try to be real, you know, try to be, you know, real, listen, respond kind of thing. Take a moment, think about what was said to you. So that was the biggest takeaway I ever got from him. And it's funny, the older I've gotten, the more I've been able to implement that and understand it more. And
that certainly applies to life, you know. If people would listen more and then respond genuinely instead of thinking of the next thought,
it's interesting you talk about in your career, Brody, that you said you were not an overnight success, but almost an overnight success by getting all the work so early in your career. And then you said at this point in your career, it's more of a challenge or a battle or not as easy. Was that hard to get used to, you know, after working so much in soaps?
Well, the first time, so I worked right away, and then I had a year and a half where, before I got Young and Restless, where nothing was happening, and that was really hard. And then, so that I worked, and then lately, the last 5 to 6 years, it's gotten difficult again, just not only for me, but for everyone. The business has changed so much that, it's frustrating, and, you know, I have months where nothing's happening, and unfortunately, as an actor, you can only do so much for yourself. You know, you have to be able to get in the room, you have to be able to audition, and if you're not getting that, then, luckily for me, I have a 20-month-old baby, so it keeps me pretty occupied.
Congratulations.
And, thank you, yeah. And I've kind of put my energy into some other things. You know, I'm getting a real estate license and just some other things to keep me busy in the meantime, you know. So there's that. And luckily, the last few projects I've done, they've called me, which is nice, and I've been able to work it out and do it. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's getting busier again. It's kind of coming back around, I feel.
I was going to say one more thing about Brody, right back to you, Rico. That I really believe it is, from talking to all these celebrities, Brody, that because of all these new platforms out there now, pilot season never ends. And there's opportunities with shows on so many networks. And if you get on one of those networks, your career takes off again that quickly, because it gets awards, it gets all these different things. Think of HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, Amazon TV,
Amazon Prime,
Netflix, all these places. I think now you went for that lull, but that lull is about to end, I believe, for you. So, because I just believe that you just keep auditioning, you're going to find another big show that's going to last for some time, because now it's not just the big three networks, and it's not even the big cable networks. It's so many opportunities for sure.
You're right. You know, I've always said in this business, it's not it's just, if you can hang in there long enough, you'll get an opportunity. You'll get more than one opportunity, but can you hang in there long enough to get them? That's the tricky part for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I've been busy lately, so that's good. And hopefully this NCIS Los Angeles will pull through. And but that I've considered a win already because they're already I'm already on hold. So they like me. So if I don't get this one, I'll get the next one. So it's good. I take the small victories at this point in my life.
Oh, well, okay, again, congratulations on all you're doing. And the other thought here is I was along the idea with Niels, you know, seeing how the industry – have not been in the industry, but I mean, seeing how, like Neil just described so well, how everything's changed for all these other possibilities, and I guess that's the best way to look at it for everybody who's an actor or an actress is to that you have these other avenues. Is that how you feel about it too?
Yeah, I think it's an amazing thing because now, you know, the problem with the networks when they do pilots, they want to see the same 10, 12 guys for everything, or the same 10, 12 girls for everything. You know, and now, unfortunately,
right.
you don't have to be talented to do anything. I mean, the Kardashians are a perfect example of notoriety, just being famous for fame's sake. And I'm not begrudging that, but that's just the reality of the situation.
No, I understand.
So,
sure.
So, you know, it's when I'm totally qualified for a part, they're going to take the guy that just got off Big Brother because, you know, he's famous for being on a reality show right now. So I get it. But, yeah, you're right. So all these new platforms opens up a lot more possibilities. And, you know, they're starting to make it that they're paying well enough for people to do it. And, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, it's a whole different thing, which is great.
That's a great point. The independent, I wanted to jump with the independent question. Independent films.
Yeah.
That's the other big thing, Brody, I'm seeing is, and I was interviewing somebody for a short today, and he told me who he had on this short. And I'm like, holy cow, that's an all-star list that independent films are opening up so many times now. People are getting out there just to work. Just to get known again, bro. That's not meaning you're going to get a payday, but you're taking a shot for to lead to another opportunity, right?
Yeah, I've done plenty of, you know, they do these things now called SAG ultra low budget films where basically they can get away with paying an actor $150 a day, let's say, which is not, you know, in life it's fine, but yeah, so the point is I've done my share and I just finished one actually last week. And, you know, I do it with the hopes of, A, you're working, and, B, I did one Mega Shark versus Colossus, but I really wanted to do it because I was a lead villain and I was working opposite Ileana Douglas, who I really respect as an actor. So,
right.
You know, yeah, you do it. It's good to work. It's good to, you know, you never know what can happen. So I rarely say no to anything unless it's just not doable or it's just really, really awful. But I did Mega Shark versus Colossus, so awful for me might be a whole different ballgame for others.
Wow. Well, along those lines, and as Neil, I was tracking with the similar thing, you know, that Neil was talking about there too, is that, and you know, it comes down to what it almost appears to be a social media recognition to be able to continue to, you know, just keep the awareness out from whatever movie or show or product, whatever. It seems like those are some of the things that would be driving factors, like you talked about, for selection.
It's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I try my best. But I'm not good at being like, hey, look at what I'm doing. Because it's so annoying when you see people doing that. So I try to maybe just put pictures of the location and say, you know, I love it here in Buffalo. And then people can ask me what's going on. Or just, that's not my strong suit, you know, and blowing myself up like that. But, you know, I'm trying to do the bare minimum. You know, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I think I kind of have a foot halfway out the door with acting right now, and I think that's why things are coming to me, sort of.
Yeah.
Because I'm just putting some focus somewhere else, which is probably a healthy thing to do. It's good sometimes. So, yeah.
Wow.
You know, funny enough,
the way we finish up the show is we always celebrities and authors and entertainers take a survey that Rico asks, a question. So go ahead and ask the question, Rico.
Yeah. Yep, Brody, you know, and the philosophy of the show here is the idea that in every moment there are just two choices. Either go for it, you know, really what you want to do, or you're going to make a choice for something less than what you really, really want to do. And so it's just a general question we've asked it to every single person who's on the show, and it's a percentage question. And the question is, from your perspective, from what you've seen in life, what percentage of life do you think is choice, and what percentage is the circumstance that you're in? We've had everything from a life is 100% choice all the way down to It's 20% choice and 80% circumstance, 50-50, 70-30. Percentage-wise, how do you view life yourself as a person? No right answer.
I feel like it's
no wrong.
It's tricky in a way because I feel like sometimes your circumstances will then shape your life decision, right? And I feel like a perfect example, I'll give you a percentage in a second, but I just feel like, you know, my parents moving to Los Angeles probably shaped my life 85%, right there.
Yeah,
like I said, I don't know if I would have packed up my car and moved to LA to be an actor. I don't know. Maybe I would have, but I was there. It was kind of a no-brainer, you know? So let me see how I can, I'll say, I'm going to say 50-50, man.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Brody, by interviewing you, that seems like that's what it is. It seems like you go with the flow at times and allow things to develop. You're not the kind of person that says, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and roll the dice. You do it sometimes, but other times you're sitting back and saying, what is the vibe right now? What do I feel is the next move? I'm feeling that from talking to you. But, you know, you're talking about social media. My foot could be out of the door in acting. I feel the same way about tutoring now, my tutoring business. My social media and branding business is building so much. But then when I'm looking to get my foot out the door, something else opens up. That's the part of life that you talk about in that circumstance. You just got to make the choices, what Reachgo's taught me. And you're the one in control of your life and the choices based on the circumstances that are presented to you, but you make the most positive choice. So best place
exactly
to find information on you, Brody, and learn more about you. Where can we go for you?
I would say you could either go to IMDb page just for like the projects I'm doing.
Cool. Okay.
I mean, honestly, I try to post on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as best I can. So those are probably the good ones. And I think it's all either Brody Hutzler or Ian Brody Hutzler.
Okay.
All right. All right, Brody.
Well, thank you, Ian. Ian Brody Hutzler. Thank you for all your time.
I have to ask you. I have to ask you a quick question though, as pertaining to professional wrestling. Do you know who Fred Olin Ray is? I just did a movie with him. He just directed the movie I did. He's a big time director, right? In the last 10 or 15, 20 years.
I don't know. Where was this? I was the minor leagues. Where was he from? The guy that
Fred
did
Olin
the director.
Ray. I forget his. I think they're back from the East Coast somewhere. But I just knew he was a professional wrestler in the early days.
I live in Pittsburgh, and I worked down south with The Rock before he was The Rock and the Headbangers.
Yeah,
I was part of that generation.
Okay.
The
I think he's about 20 years ahead of you. Yeah, I think he's about 20 years older than that. So. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
all right, just curious.
Our paths could have crossed, Brody, for sure.
You never know.
So,
you never know.
Definitely stay in touch. And the latest thing you're promoting right now is your movie, right? Correct?
Yeah, I have two coming out. One I wrapped a while ago called Dance Night Obsession. And it's with Antonio Zabato Jr. and Sabrina Bryant. That should be out any day. I don't know. I think, I'm not sure. It might be a Lifetime type of thing. And then I just finished one called Curtains.
Cool.
So Curtains, we just finished. I think that's definitely a Lifetime thing. So, you know, keep an eye out.
Curtains is a Lifetime. Okay. All right. Well, I'll have to go check those out and research them, see which people are on and promote it for you, Brody, on social media as well. So thanks for
Thank
calling,
you. I really
man.
Do appreciate
take care.
That.
Best of luck to both of you guys. Talk to you later, Rico. And we'll definitely, I know our paths will cross. But that was text me,
Brody.
The name of the guy, and I'll look him up and see if I've met him before. Okay? All right?
Okay. Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
bye-bye. Have a fantastic
day. All right, see you.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.